Before we get into the second part of our scripture reading this morning, I've told you before how this is my favorite chapter in the entire Bible. Mark's account of the resurrection in chapter 16. So a lot of times I'll compare this to when you're watching a movie or a TV show that has an unsatisfying ending. One of those endings where, like, all of a sudden the screen just goes black and it's over. Or it doesn't answer all of the questions that you have and it leaves you wanting more. Last Sunday was the final episode of the TV show Game of Thrones. Do we have anyone who watches in here? A couple. Okay, so for the rest of you, don't worry, you won't be in the dark for this. So this is, surprisingly, given the numbers that we have here, it's actually an incredibly popular, incredibly popular fantasy show about kings and queens and dragons and an army of the dead that's coming to kill them all. After 8 years, we were finally going to find out what happens. Like, who's going to survive? Who would be the king and queen? Who would win the Game of Thrones? Who would this character's secret identity finally be revealed? Would they defeat the army of the dead and save the kingdom? This whole show has been building up to this, and there are all these questions that were finally going to be answered. But all throughout this final season, after each episode, there were a lot of people who were just kind of like, this isn't very good. Like, it's different than previous seasons. The writing is bad. Like, it feels rushed, like they're just trying too hard to cram it all in and wrap it up. And the characters are doing things, behaving in ways that are uncharacteristic over the past 7 seasons. Like, it just wasn't what a lot of the fans of the show wanted. And then came the final episode, which people hoped would pull it all together and redeem everything. Like, maybe they've been building something that we just haven't been able to see so far. And I'm not going to give away what happened, just in case any of you haven't watched it yet, you're still waiting to. It's only been a week, so we're still in that spoiler zone. But it was not the way that people wanted the show to end. Social media was immediately flooded with posts about how the writers had ruined the entire show. I saw one friend on Facebook had posted, "I can't believe I wasted 8 years of my life watching this show." I'm like, nobody made you do this. But 8 years, and there were several, you know, words that I can't repeat in here mixed in with that. But I saw articles with titles like, 24 questions I have after watching the Game of Thrones finale that I will never get the answer to. 15 Game of Thrones fan stories that will help you achieve closure. 11 Game of Thrones fan theories that are better than the actual show. Someone actually started a petition online on the website change.org demanding that HBO remake the entire final season, a season that cost HBO over $90 million to make in the first place. The petition says this, that the writers have proven themselves to be woefully incompetent, and the series deserves a final season that makes sense. They wanted them to just rewrite the whole thing and start over like none of it had ever happened. And as of this morning, I checked before coming in here, that petition has been signed by 1,567,835 people. And as I was sitting there looking at it, the number kept going up because people were continuing to sign it. 1.5 million people who were so unsatisfied with the way that the show ended, they wanted to rewrite it. That is exactly like what happens in Mark's gospel. The way that Mark's gospel ends was so unsatisfying that people demanded a rewrite. Because of that, Mark's gospel actually has 3 separate endings. And I want to look at each of them real quick to show you what's going on here. So, when these books of the Bible were written, there wasn't a Bible yet the way that we have it now, right? There were just a bunch of different gospels circulating. And because you didn't have photocopy machines or printing presses back then, If you wanted a copy of one of these Gospels, it had to be copied out by hand. So there were a lot of copies floating around, and some of them were very different from each other. Mark's Gospel is a prime example of this. Mark's Gospel was written around the year 70 AD, but the oldest copy that anyone has found is from around the year 225 AD. The earliest copies of Mark's Gospel, they end like this. The women go to the tomb, Jesus isn't there. An angel appears to them, tells them that he has risen, go back and tell the disciples to go to Galilee and they will find him there. And the final verse says, so they went out and fled the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And then it ends. That's it. That's the ending. The original ending of Mark's Gospel. Jesus doesn't even appear. The screen just goes black, and it ends with, they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. That's not how a story of good news is supposed to end, right? Well, it was so unsettling for some people. They just couldn't deal with that kind of ending. They needed closure. They needed some kind of conclusion. They needed to know what happened. They had questions they needed answers to. So what they did was they tacked on a short two-sentence ending right after verse 8 that says this. And all that had been commanded them, the women told briefly to those around Peter. And afterward, Jesus himself sent out through them from east to west the sacred and imperishable proclamation of eternal salvation. So the women go from not telling anyone out of fear to briefly telling the disciples, and then Jesus sends it out to the whole world. But still, that ending doesn't feel complete. It feels like they just rushed and crammed in an ending. It's not the full, satisfying ending that people were hoping for. So then what they did was, some people just kind of said, you know, that shorter ending, that's no good. Let's get rid of that. They added a longer ending in its place that goes like this. Now, after he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went out and told those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After this, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Later, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were sitting at the table. And he upbraided them for their lack of faith and stubbornness, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. By using my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and proclaimed the good news everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that accompanied it. So there, we have a pretty well-rounded ending to this gospel story. Nothing leaves us hanging. We have the women telling, Jesus appearing, giving them all instructions, sending them out into the world, and then ascending into heaven. That is a nice, complete, satisfying ending. I think that what's going on in this chapter is something that all of us can relate to. Because on some level, every single one of us has a need in our lives, in our stories, for closure. We crave resolution, clarity, and answers. We have an innate need to wrap things up and have a satisfying ending. It doesn't always have to be a happy ending, but it has to be a satisfying one, one that we can process and understand, and it makes sense to us. We don't like the sudden endings where things are left unresolved. But the thing is, sometimes our stories end that way. Sometimes we are left with questions that we will never get the answers to. I think that these three endings to Mark's gospel point to something a lot bigger than just an editing process. I think they point to doubt. The original ending, it ends with a kind of doubt. The women were afraid. They didn't know what to do, so they ran away and they did nothing. It leaves the whole thing in doubt. But then there were people who doubted whether that ending was enough, so they added another. And there were people who doubted whether that ending was enough, so they added another. Because I think that sometimes we doubt that God's story is enough. Sometimes we doubt that God is enough. We try to take matters into our own hands and provide our own conclusions and try to write our own endings. It's easy to trust God when things are going well and it feels like we have all the answers and life is like a nice, tidy, neat story. It's a whole lot harder to trust God when there's doubt. And we're just kind of left hanging there. And we don't have any answers. And we don't know what's going to happen next. This past week, we went down to Washington, D.C. to bury my father at Arlington. He died a year ago, but he and I hadn't had a relationship for the past 12 years. My father served in Vietnam and, like a lot of others, came home from that war a very different person and struggled with that for the rest of his life. And I reached a point where I realized that for my own well-being, the well-being of my family, I could not be in relationship with him anymore. So we hadn't spoken for 12 years, and I had made peace with that. I guess there was a part of me that always figured, one day, you know, one day we'll talk again. One day we'll try to work all of this out and see if we can fix this. And so when he died, very suddenly, without any warning or any chance to talk or say goodbye, it was one of those endings where it was like the screen just went black and the story ended. It was an unsatisfying ending that left me with more questions than answers. And the reason that I mention this is not because my story is unique. I mention it because I think it's something that we can all identify with. All of us have relationships in our lives or experiences in our lives that leave us feeling that way. Relationships or experiences that are broken or wounded and we don't know what to do with them. We don't know where they're going to go next. We don't know if they can be fixed. And the question for us is, what do we do with them? How do we keep on living our lives with these unresolved issues, these questions that maybe we'll never get the answers to? How do we keep on living without letting them consume us? After my father's death a year ago, I experienced this sadness at the thought that we'll never be able to work things out. That his life ended and that one day my life will end with this brokenness still between us. That he couldn't find the healing that he needed in this life and that we couldn't find the healing that we needed in this life. But the one thought that I kept coming back to is like this repetition in my mind was that this life is not all there is. That no, we couldn't work things out in this life. But the possibility of healing and forgiveness and reconciliation does not end with this life. Because what Mark's gospel shows us is where one story ends, another one begins. That's what resurrection is all about. That it's never too late to find healing and forgiveness and love and life that we all need. Because through Jesus Christ, there is this bigger life and bigger existence and bigger story than we can even begin to fully understand the possibilities of. Our stories may seem to end with disappointment or pain or brokenness, but Christ is at work rewriting our endings so that death gives way to life. Mourning gives way to dancing. Tears give way to laughter. Brokenness gives way to healing. Sin gives way to forgiveness. Doubt gives way to faith. Nothing ever really ends. It just turns into something new. And we may not always be able to see that. But faith is about trusting where we cannot see and where we have no proof. Trusting in the midst of our doubts and our fears that God is enough. That when we feel like the story is coming to an end and the screen is going black, God can bring about new possibilities and new life and resurrection. Mark's story does not end with fear or doubt. Neither do ours. Mark's story does not end with death, and neither do ours. Mark's story ends with Jesus showing up. So do ours. Mark's story ends with resurrection and new life, and so do ours. Mark's story ends and begins again, and ends and begins again, and so do ours. In Mark's gospel, the story is not really ending at all. It's only just beginning. So are ours. The challenge for us is to take all the moments in life when it seems like the story is coming to an end and open ourselves up to the ways that God is beginning something new in us. Christ is rewriting our endings into new beginnings. Through the grace of God, we can always start again. Let's pray. We give you thanks, O Lord, for this amazing story written by your faithful people so long ago that reminds us the endings and new beginnings in life. It reminds us of resurrection and invites us to live into that story. It is so hard to see that sometimes, that where one thing is ending, something new can begin. Sometimes we are so bogged down in our doubt and our fear and our uncertainty. We can't see these new possibilities. So we pray that your Spirit would surround us and fill us. Give us the faith that we long for and need. Enable us to see beyond the endings to the new beginnings that you are opening up in this world and in our lives. We give you thanks for the resurrection of Jesus, the ultimate new beginning coming out of what we thought was the ultimate ending. You have opened the way to everlasting life and invited us to be a part of it. So we give you thanks that in you, in Christ, nothing really ends. It keeps going and going. Life eternal. And we can too. Help us to see a bigger picture beyond just this time and place. Bigger picture that you have made possible, that you have designed from the beginning of time. Help us to live into it with great trust and hope. We ask all this in the name of your Son, our living Savior, Jesus Christ.